From New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
It can be one of the most overwhelming diagnoses given in health today. When someone is diagnosed with dementia and with Alzheimer's, the outlook oftentimes is one of great stress on the caregivers and on the person that is diagnosed. And for this reason, I wanted to talk about where we're at with this disease and what are some of the breakthroughs and what do we expect in the days and years to come. Dr. Vossel is professor of neurology and director of the Mary S. Easton Center for Alzheimer's Research at UCLA. And he has joined us for an extended conversation tonight on Radio Night Live. Just before we went to break, you were explaining that the differences in dementia and Alzheimer's specifically is kind of marked by different markers. And we interrupted you just before the break. Go ahead and finish that thought.
In recent times, we've developed ways of assessing for amyloid beta plaques in the brain as well as tau neurofibrillary tangles. And even more recently, we've developed blood tests where we can gather information about the likelihood that these different proteins in the brain are forming clumps or aggregates just by looking at a blood test. And we're getting close to using that in the clinic. Currently, we use several measures, including brain MRI, sometimes a PET scan, and in some cases a spinal fluid exam to make a more accurate diagnosis.
Is the cognitive dysfunction caused from those clumps and entanglements that you described?
At least in our scientific models, it appears that those clumps of proteins do have an impact on the decline and the cognitive functions. There is also likely an inflammatory response in the brain. Some people have an immune response that is not as optimal as others, and some of the genetic risks for Alzheimer's disease relate to the innate immune system of the brain and its ability to clear these disease aggregates from the brain.
So when you're dealing with this diagnosis, the brain is trying to heal itself from these clumps and these aggregates of these proteins. What are the proteins doing? Are they attacking the cells? Are they just sitting there pressing upon the brain itself? What's going on with the proteins?
They do not engulf the entire brain. They probably take up roughly 1% of the brain, but there are soluble or almost invisible forms of the proteins that can bind to these areas called synapses. And the synapses are really vital for how one neuron in the brain communicates with another neuron. And we found that those synapses begin to die back early in the disease. And the especially the amyloid aggregates can enter into those synaptic areas and create a lot of problems. The tau protein is actually inside of the cell, and it can clump up within the cell. And the cells that are unhealthy tend to have more clumping of that protein than the cells that are healthier.
Gotcha. Is this why the involuntary activity of an Alzheimer patient becomes noticeable? The shaking and the other things that that they're not cognitively trying to make happen.
That's an interesting point that you make, because some patients with Alzheimer's disease do develop a tremor similar to what people with Parkinson's develop. In my own research, we've found that the disease proteins, especially amyloid beta, and through a mechanism that involves tau, can develop seizures. And these seizures were not well recognized until, in my research studies, we examined people with overnight recordings with EEG or brainwave studies, as well as another type of test called magnetoencephalography or MEG. And through those two modalities, we were able to discover that up to 60% of patients with Alzheimer's or mild cognitive impairment due to Alzheimer's disease were experiencing epileptic seizures or seizure-like events, mostly during their sleep. And the seizure activity can actually impact cognition over the long run, and those with epileptic activity have a faster decline in their cognitive abilities.
Gotcha. This is called what you were known to discover, the silent seizure activity, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the more recent things that we've learned about the disease. But when we continue, I also, Dr. Vossel, want to talk about some of the best breakthroughs. What are some of the reasons for hope that people have, and how can we point them to that? When we continue with our final segment, Dr. Keith Vossel, professor of neurology, director of the Mary S. Easton Center at UCLA for Alzheimer's Research. Coming right back, Radio Night Live.